All right. Good afternoon. I'm glad you're back, and I hope you had a good lunch. We did. Got to sit down with Amanda and talk with her for a while. It was just a delightful time to be together. But next week, you don't even have to go anywhere to get it. You do have to go somewhere to get it, but Van Hall's, and it'll be a great time of fellowship. We've got a number of guests that are going to be with us that day. They're coming to look at the church. And so I'm not begging you because you guys do this already, but we need to be friendly when people are there. Greet them. And you say, Pastor, that's just not me. Well, it needs to become you. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. It needs to become you. And you know what? I would have never thought my mom could be the social butterfly that she has become. She is amazing. She talks to everybody now. Wow. Praise the Lord. And if my mom can do it, anybody can do it. Amen. And so you can do it too. And just be a part, be a blessing with people. All right, Jonah. I want to get in because we're starting a little late. But the choir can't practice next week unless they want to practice down at the lake. And they're not going to do that. So I told Pastor Josh to take a little extra time. But I'll still be done on time. Jonah. And I enjoy this study. And a number of you have told me you do. As well as just looking at some little things. And so let me just bring us up to snuff where we're at so I can go on to chapter 2. But the sailors are praying. But the neat thing is they're not praying to their gods. Who are they praying to? The God. That is so amazing to me that they had enough gumption, enough faith to pray to the God. And their prayers demonstrated that they prayed to the Lord. That's who they were praying to. Their prayers was a passion of prayers. They cried unto the Lord, the Bible says. Their prayers demonstrated respect for human life. I love that. They didn't want to have Jonah. They respected human life, unlike us today. And I'm not saying us, but the world today doesn't respect human life. That's why abortion is just going rampant, and they're empowering them to do it. And that's just taking life. But these sailors who were sailors, not good men probably, look at the change. They respected human life, and that prayer demonstrated their wisdom and praise for the Lord. So they're praying, but they're getting nowhere with the response. We talked, led into this a couple weeks ago, but it led into the response. The prayers to stop the storm wasn't stopping. And they realized something. You know, these are new, if you could say it, new Christians. I don't know if they got saved, but they're new to this. They realized that they didn't get angry at God. They just realized God may not answer their request until they executed the judgment that Jonah said needed to happen. That's quite amazing to me. And so they came to a point, they had rowed, they had tried everything to save Jonah. They had a love for human life, but they realized God's not going to answer this prayer until we do what Jonah told us we needed to do. And I can just picture, can you picture it? They didn't want to do it, but a sailor grabbed him by his hands, a sailor grabbed him by the feet, and they said, one, two, three, and overboard he went. Again, we'll talk about the raging sea in just a minute. But, you know, we see that God intervened in the storm and how swift the transition from the impossible to the possible. And the Bible tells us that the sailors feared exceedingly. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that this wasn't one of those, foxhole decision. This was, they didn't say, God, if you save us. They just asked God to deliver them. They made nothing to it. But after God did deliver them and the storm ceased, they immediately went and sacrificed and praised God for what he had done. And again, they made vows, the Bible said. And I think we'll find out what their vows were. I think they were part of the reason that Jonah had such great success because the story about Jonah got to Nineveh before Jonah got to Nineveh. And because the sailors, now Jonah was cast out upon somewhere near where he was going to Joppa, where he left from. And that's where they think he was cast out, but we're not 100% sure. But them in the boat, they probably went around toward Nineveh. They were going opposite. So Jonah had to walk that way to Nineveh to get there. The sailors just sailed around there. And I think the excitement that they had, and they revealed why Jonah was on that ship and why they cast him overboard, because Jonah told them he was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. I think their hearts were already open and prepared. But we'll talk more about that coming up in chapter 2. So in the end of chapter 1, which probably should be part of chapter 2, verse 17, they cast him overboard into the water. And let me get there a second to so I can read some of this for you. I got some other verses. And then, or now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And again, that's a little bit of a picture of Christ himself, because he was in the grave 3 days and three nights for 3 days, and he came out, and Jonah was a picture, it says, of Christ. But Jonah was also a picture of Israel, and I'll give you that in a second, but let me catch up to that point. So Jonah is cast into the water, then he's swallowed by a great fish. And though at that time Jonah learned what hell was really like, and I'm going to talk about that at the end, that he said, I cried by reason of my affliction in verse 2, and he heard me out of the belly of what? The belly of hell. And I'll explain that to you. And again, as Jonah's inside the belly of this whale, he repented and turned to God. I liked what Thomas Carlyle, one of the authors I've been reading, he said it like this. I was so obsessed with what was going on inside the whale. You know, I mean, did he have air? Could he breathe? Was he wrapped in seaweed? Which the Bible relates to that. I mean, was it dark? Was it what? Da, 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 da. He said, I got so wrapped up in what was taking place inside the whale that I missed seeing the drama that was going on inside of Jonah. And I think that's so true. I think we get so interested in the whale portion of it that we miss what was going on. So we like and we looked what was going on inside the whale, but what we don't stop and look at what was going on inside of Jonah. And that's what this prayer is all about. Again, nevertheless, you got to be sensitive, because you don't want to miss one and do the other. And you don't want to fall into that danger of neglecting the miraculous nature of this wonder. So I want to look what took place. Today we'll look at what took place in the belly of the whale, leading to next week what took place in the heart of Jonah. If you gave me a choice, what took place in the heart of Jonah was even greater than the miracle that what happened in the belly of the whale. Here's a guy who said, I'm willing to die so I don't have to go to Nineveh. I bought a ticket to go the opposite of Nineveh. I'm not going to go and preach to Nineveh. But what a miracle that took place in his life. It's like watching people who maybe you would have thought could never, ever, ever serve the Lord, never would go to church, never would live for the Lord, and all of a sudden they do. That truly, that is a true miracle of God. And it's possible. So the question is, was it a great fish that swallowed him? Did that really happen? Did it really swallow Jonah? Can a person actually believe this story? Well, those who believe in the God of the Bible have no difficulty believing in that such a miracle is possible. So if you believe God, what God is, you believe that he is, as we talked about last week, God is a sovereign, almighty, omnipotent God, then you'll have no problem believing this miracle could have taken place. Jonah's preservation in the belly of the fish can only be explained as a miracle. If the God of the Bible can raise people from the dead, he certainly can cause a great monster of the deep to come alongside the ship when the prophet was thrown overboard, and can cause that whale or that fish to swallow him. If miracles do not happen, then the story about Jonah honestly did not happen. And at this time, again, I want to point out as we get into this, I'd like to point out simply that Jonah is not only a picture of Christ in some ways, Jonah's a picture of Israel. Let me give you the comparisons. I found this quite fascinating. So this story of Jonah has it's way more. I mean, Christ said, as Jonah was in the belly, well, so will the Son of Man. So he compared him to Christ's death. But we also see some comparisons to Israel like this. As Jonah, Israel was chosen by God to witness to Gentile nations. That's why God raised up a nation. That was their whole, they were to witness to Gentile nations. Wow, that's what Jonah was to do, go witness to a Gentile nation, Nineveh. Both of them, Jonah and Israel, were both commissioned by God, called by God, and given a direct command to do what they were supposed to do. And like Jonah, Israel was disobedient to the will of the Lord. Both of them are the same thing. But I like this. But while Jonah was among the heathen, when he went to Nineveh, they came to a knowledge of God. And the comparison is why Israel lives amongst the nations today. The Gentiles have come to know the Lord. It's pretty neat when you look at it that way. Israel is put on a shelf, and as they walk amongst the nations, the Gentiles are the ones God's using, the same as it was for Jonah, that God raised him up to reach a Gentile nation. And so there are many comparisons. Again, truly, the book of Jonah is a little bit of a prophecy for Israel. So let's take a look at what happened inside the belly of the whale. From the encyclopedia, I know who uses encyclopedias. I brought my sister-in-law and her husband over yesterday to see the church. They came and they're on camping in Holland. They came over to see us, and we brought them up to see the church, and they were very impressed with the church. But they went in and showed them the library, and they loved that table where the stand is encyclopedias. And both of them said this, yeah, who uses encyclopedias anymore anyway? And I said, well, we used them to build a stand for our table. So it was very good. And those are real encyclopedia books, but you can get them online, so you don't need them as books anymore. But so I went to the Encyclopedia Britannica. You can find much information about a sperm whale, because there's some whales that their throat isn't very wide, and you have all kinds, but all the commentaries I read believe that in the area that Jonah was, it would be the, and in the New Testament, it, you know, you say, Pastor, do you know it was a whale? Well, in the book of Matthew, it says the whale. It uses the word whale. So I'm going to use the word whale. I believe it was a whale because of what it said, and I'll give you that reference in Matthew or Mark. I've never seen it before. And I said, so I looked up the word whale, and it went to Matthew or Mark, one of the verses, and it talks about as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. So we're going to call it a whale. We can call it a great fish, call it what you want, but I believe it was a sperm whale. An average sperm whale might have a mouth that's 20 feet long, 15 feet high, and 9 feet wide. And the encyclopedia said this, that the mouth of that sperm whale is many times larger than most rooms in the average size house. That puts it in perspective, the size of the mouth. Could he swallow Jonah? It is known that a sperm whale feeds largely on squid, which are often much larger than a man, the full-grown squids. Whalers have sometimes found whole squids the size of a man in a dead whale stomach. And as to whether could a man survive, they asked that question in the encyclopedia, could a man survive in a whale stomach? Well, the encyclopedia maintains that he certainly could, though in circumstances of very great discomfort, but it's very possible he could. There would be air to breathe. I didn't realize this, but the encyclopedia said because it's the air inside the whale that causes the whale to be able to float. And so they believe that there would be air that would allow you to breathe within. Now, I still think it's a miracle that the fish was where he needed to be, swallowed Jonah, and then spit him back out where God told him. So it's still a miracle no matter what you're, but it's humanly possible. But there, one of the things it mentioned, there'd be great heat. It would be inside the whale's belly, they feel it would be between 104 to 108 degrees Fahrenheit. Unpleasant contact with the animal's gastric juices that you would know that would be in a stomach. And again, I've never done a whale before, but I've done cows. They have four stomachs. And when you break open those stomachs, you better not be near it, because it smells to high heaven. And I learned that as a kid, the wrong way, not to break their stomachs open. But so that came up. But the encyclopedia said the juices would not digest living matter. Otherwise, they would digest the walls of the creature's stomach. So it causes discomfort. It'll burn. But that is not what would, in a few days, would digest a human body. You know, and so then it came up in the encyclopedia, and I already knew this story, but has there ever been a case where a man was actually having been swallowed by a whale and then regurgitated and lived? Well, again, a whaling ship called the Star of the East in February of 1891 spotted a large sperm whale in the vicinity of the Falkland Islands. Two boats were launched, and in a short while, one of the boats, harpoons, was able to spear the whale. That was when the second boat attempted to attach a second harpoon to get it to stretch it out wide. But that boat was capsized in the process, and one man was drowned. A second sailor, James Bartley is his name, disappeared and could not be found. Well, in time, the whale was killed and drawn to the side of the ship, where it was made fast. They secured it. And then the blubber was removed. That's what they wanted from the whale the most. The next day, the stomach was hoisted upon the deck. And when the stomach was cut open, the missing sailor was found inside. He was unconscious but alive. Eventually, they threw some salt water on him. And after a short time, he resumed his duties on board the whaling vessel. So is it possible? Well, we have a human example, and he was only in there for a day and a half, but he came up, completely survived. In addition, though, not just the data on the whales that I could find, but there are a number of links between the prophet and Jonah and Nineveh, which I didn't realize these were there, and I'm just going to give you a couple of them. There were many. A few of them were cited by Dr. Gabelein, somebody I read quite often from. I can get information off the internet from him. He said there's a seal. He found a seal belonging to the reign of Amasis II of Egypt that shows a remarkable clarity of a man emerging from a sea monster. And it is referenced to Jonah. Another one, an interesting bit of information in the name of the mound in the upper, there's a mound that's in the upper Tigris Valley, and it's found under the remains of the ancient Nineveh city that was discovered. The site of Nineveh has never been really found. It's never, they found pieces, but they found this mound, and they learned that mound, you know what it was called? Nebi Yunus. And do you know what Nebi Yunus means? The prophet Jonah. So right found in the city of Nineveh a mound that was identified as Nebi Yunus, and it means the prophet of Jonah. Again, there's the association of Jonah with the story with the ancient Nineveh. Probably was preserved the story the sailors came. Due to the worship, their number one god was the fish god Dagon, the same as the Philistines. So they worshiped the fish god Dagon, and if Jonah had been swallowed by a great fish and then been thrown up on the coast of Palestine, the witnesses, the sailors who may have conveyed this tale to those in Nineveh, it is easy to see how the population that could worship the fish god Dagon may have received Jonah as a divine messenger and have remembered and preserved the tale long afterwards. So I mean, I know I give you some information that what happened inside the belly. It was hot. It talks about seaweed. There were probably other fish and animals that were swallowed, because when a whale swallows, he probably engulfs everything in sight at that point. And in the prayer, there's reference. So I believe that was all as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. But obviously, it wasn't filled with water because there was room. Obviously, there was air to breathe because he survived for 3 days and three nights. I imagine his skin was burnt because of the stomach, the gastric acids that are in the stomach. And again, I think that's why the people of Nineveh, hearing the story of what happened to Jonah, could understand that, because they took one look at Jonah and they could tell that he had come. This was a true story. It really did happen. So all the things, the heat, all the things, the references to what happened inside the belly of the whale, I think you could find enough proof to believe that really that could happen. Apart from a miracle, it's possible it could happen. Now, the fish being in the right spot at the right time, spitting them up at the right time and in the right place, and all that taking place, that's the miracle of God. That's that the fish falling under the sovereignty and the omnipotence of an almighty, all-powerful God who controls. We know God controls the fish. How do we know God controls the fish? Give me an illustration. Come on. Yeah, when they were fishing, remember? They cast their nets all night and got nothing. And he said, put it on the other side of the net, cast it out there. And they caught so much that they called in the other boats to come and rescue them. So God's in command of the fish. The fish go where God tells them to go and do what God tells them to do. That's all part of the story. And so again, what happened inside the belly of the whale, you know, that's what people mock. People say that's impossible. Even from a human perspective, taking a miracle aside, all of that is very, very possible. But when you put together the perfect timing, the perfect everything that happened, you know that God is an authority and God is in complete control, and this becomes a miracle. It becomes a miracle. But again, apart from the fish, the remains that are there, the stories that flow, the city that's named after the prophet Jonah. I mean, somehow for Jonah to be named on the mound that's found in Nineveh, there had to have been a something that Jonah did that they named a mound after him. For even the Egyptians to put that in writing, that a man was swallowed by a whale and then spit out again. There's just too much happening there to doubt this. Now here's a question I have for you. And I'm not sure how the order of it is, but this great storm was taking place. I think they were in a whirlwind, in a hurricane. And I think the waves were beating against the boat. It was horrible. And when they cast Jonah into the water, did the water stop immediately? Did it just go calm immediately? That's what I thought. So I looked it up in the reference. You know what? It doesn't say immediately. It just says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord and has got out of the fish of the belly. It doesn't say, you know, again, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up in Jonah in verse 17, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish. It doesn't say that then I began to think about it. So I sat in my office for hours. Not that I don't have anything to do, but this intrigued me. What was it like for Jonah? Well, I think when he hit the water, the waters didn't immediately cease after I thought it through. Why? God wanted to get his attention. God wanted to get Jonah. I mean, Jonah, I believe just human life says when you're thrown into the water like that, even though it's a hurricane, and he said, throw me in, I want to die, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I think that's when your life system takes over and he began to try to swim for his life. But is there any way of doing that? And I think the men looked out as they saw Jonah trying to swim, and they lost sight of Jonah in all the waves. Would be very hard to do. And then all of a sudden, I believe that's when the wave stopped. The hurricane stopped immediately. You know, did the men see this great fish come up from below? And I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know. Because if they did see the fish come up and swallow Jonah, what would they automatically thought? He's gone. He's gone. And maybe because they would have thought that, God did not allow that to happen. I really don't think they saw it. This is changing the way I've thought all my life on this. But I think they threw him into the water and he struggled for life. And when the sailors could no longer see him because either the waves washed him away or he went underwater, that's when I believe the great whale, the great fish came and swallowed Jonah. And I personally don't think they saw the whale, that big shadow, come up and grasp him. I think he just simply disappeared. Now, I could be wrong. But I think God wanted Jonah to get his attention. First in the water. And then to be swallowed by a whale. God had his attention. So, Clayton was right. We like to look at that part of it. But we forget to look and see what happened in the heart of Jonah. Again, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. So many commentaries said that, or some of the more liberal ones said, yeah, the whale swallowed him up, and then he spit him up on land, and that's when Jonah prayed. I'm telling you, I disagree 100% with that. Because the Bible says, then, just talks about him being swallowed by a whale, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And so while he's in the fish's belly, God begins to grab a hold of his heart. And he cried and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. The water, the waves, the storm, now the fish. And he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And then you'll go through. So there's some interesting things, and I'm not going to take time to do it today because I'm going to be done. Some interesting things. You know what? This passage, you know where most of this passage comes from? You know where you'd find a lot of the things that Jonah said? You know where it comes from? The book of Psalms. At this time, Jonah wasn't right with God. Stay with me a minute. He was running from God. But when he got to this point, he remembered the book of Psalms and the promises that he'd learned along the way. And the only reason I tell you that, and I'll remind you of this again in 2 weeks. But you know, people who sit under God's word, if they'll learn, God's word never returns void. And sometimes, you know, when God's word comes back to their mind, when they get in the worst possible situation, that's when they remember. So all I'm saying is maybe people used to come to church and now they're not. Well, it wasn't in vain. Kids have come to church and learned from their teachers, Sunday school, and now they're not living for the Lord, but it's not in vain. Jonah, at probably the worst time of his life. And so we'll look at these next week or 2 weeks and look at what Jonah remembered in the belly of that whale. So we looked at what took place inside the belly of the whale, but in 2 weeks we'll look at what takes place in the belly, in the mind, and the soul of Jonah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time. And I didn't want to be long today. These folks have listened so wonderfully in Sunday school and in morning service. But this story is just unique. It's unique in the way it happened. It's one of the most criticized books in all the Bible. But there's so many truths. You see Israel in this book. You see the death of Christ in this book, in the life of Jonah. You see revival. You see a man who was running from God, willing to die, that turned around and said, God, I will obey you. And I will respond and do what you've asked me to do. And so there's so many truths, so many wonderful things. This prayer of Jonah is amazing. So Lord, I pray that we'll look and see and be able to apply even some of these truths to our lives. What a wonderful book. It's only a few chapters long, and it's one of the easiest stories to read. But yet it's a story that has great and powerful truths if we'll apply them to our lives. We saw the sailors. They learned how to pray. And I guess that's what impressed me so far. Sailors learned how to pray, and even Jonah once again learned how to pray. And in both cases, God answered their prayer. Lord, that's what we need in America today. I think the only thing that changes America is prayer. Oh, we can have rallies. We can try to elect a new man. But unless God intervenes and God does great things, it's not going to change. And so God, just help us to pray. But not pray what we want, but pray thy will be done. And so Lord, thank you for the lessons we can learn from the life of Jonah. Now as Julie just closed.